News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
I saw at least one gunman firing, looked like a shotgun firing randomly in all directions. I saw children falling to the floor, so elderly I saw, invalids I saw, people just, it was an absolute bloodbath. October 7th, that's the last time I saw this.
Yes, so these 15 people have been killed in that shooting on Australia's Bondi Beach, which specifically targeted a Jewish event. Police say the two gunmen were a 50-year-old father who died at the scene and his 24-year-old son who remains in hospital in critical condition. A little earlier, Jack Han, news reporter at the Today Show in Sydney, gave us this update.
Now starting to learn more about the victims, the 15 people, these innocent people out enjoying a wonderful afternoon on Bondi Beach, their lives terribly cut short, and that includes, tragically, a 10-year-old girl by the name of Matilda. And we've even seen a picture of her smiling at this Jewish celebration for Hanukkah. It was an incredible afternoon here, 30 degrees, a wonderful sunset, and her life tragically cut short. We also know that a number of rabbis have lost their life, and even a Holocaust survivor who escaped Ukraine, coming to Australia for safety after obviously escaping the Holocaust as well. And tragically, he was also killed.
Well, that is extraordinary. A Holocaust survivor being killed just on Bondi Beach. It's unimaginable. We're joined now by Ireland's Chief Rabbi, Yoni Wheeler. Rabbi, thank you indeed for talking to us this morning. Excuse me.
Morning, thank you.
Thank you indeed. Your reaction to yesterday's horrific events in Sydney?
Yes, just hearing some of those depictions, the shooting was utterly sickening. At this stage, regrettably, it's not something we can say has come as a complete surprise, but this was a heinous act of bloodthirsty terror. And first and foremost, our thoughts and prayers are with the injured and with the families of those brutally murdered. And let's be completely clear, this was not just an attack on the Jewish people. It was also an attack on the civilized values that underpin our whole society. A world in which people cannot go to the beach and celebrate their faith without fearing for their lives is a world that is unsafe for all decent people.
You must have been very shook yesterday when this news started to emerge.
So shaken. The images emerging were particularly graphic. But as I said, unfortunately, the writing in Australia was on the wall. I've heard several Australian Jews saying that they're not shocked by what happened. There's been a steady rise of anti-Semitic incidents reported across the country. And in Sydney itself, in the aftermath of October 7th, protesters were marching through the streets, chanting "Globalize the Intifada" and "Gas the Jews." And from what was reported, no serious action was taken at the time. And when explicit calls for the murder of Jewish people are ignored, when there are no real consequences, it sends a dangerous message. And now on Bondi Beach, we've seen a pogrom, a mass shooting and killing of Jewish people that should have been unimaginable.
Do you believe that level of anti-Semitism you have referred to, was that more obvious, more overt in Australia, do you think?
Than, say, in Europe or here in Ireland?
Yes.
In terms of physical violence, there was definitely more incidents than we've experienced here. But there's no question that there are very real concerns for Jewish people in Ireland as well. There's been a sharp rise in hatred against Jewish people, both online and in real life anti-Semitic incidents. And it's been rapid and it's deeply disturbing. There's been a one-sided inflammatory anti-Israel rhetoric that has become normal across much of Irish media and politics. And like it or not, that atmosphere gives confidence to those who seek to intimidate and target Jewish communities in Ireland, even when politicians and commentators never intend it in that way. We've seen weekly demonstrations on our streets and university campuses calling to globalize the Intifada, again echoing some of those chants in Sydney.
I certainly don't want to get into a dispute with you about on today of all days, but I do have to point out there will be people listening saying they've attended various protests and so on, but they would say that they are protests against the actions of the Israeli government in Gaza. They are not in any way meant to be anti-Semitic.
I totally understand that, and I believe that most people, when they attend, they intend only to oppose the actions of the Israeli government or against Israel. And for when politicians or people on the street say that, again, for the most part, I don't doubt their sincerity, but it is important to know that this distinction doesn't hold up in practice for those who are seeking to intimidate and to marginalise the Jewish community. And this type of constant one-sided rhetoric has emboldened them.
I'm looking at the lead story in the Irish Times today, Rabbi. Their headline is Gardaí to increase security at Jewish events after Bondi attack. Have you had conversations with Gardaí in relation to security concerns about surrounding Jewish events?
Yes, certainly. I had a long conversation yesterday with the Garda commissioner, and I'm very appreciative that he reached out, and the priorities are absolutely clear. It's about intelligence, to learn of any potential threats before it's too late. It's about holding accountable anyone who's made threats or incited violence. And then, of course, it's, as you said, increased security around communal institutions and events. And we are so grateful to the Gardaí for all the support they've given us, not just in the past 24 hours, but for the past 2 years and before that. But this does not start and end with policing. The answer cannot always be to further increase security and to build our fences higher and higher. There is a brutal hatred against Jewish people in parts of the West and unfortunately in parts of Irish society too. And this needs to be confronted and uprooted.
Yeah, no, I think that's a fair point to make. Even before yesterday's horrific attack, was it something that you were concerned about? Did you have security concerns in relation to events here in Ireland celebrating the Jewish faith?
Of course. As I said, there are serious reasons to be concerned for the reasons that I've outlined. It's Hanukkah this week. There are communal events going on almost every single day. It's one of our biggest celebrations, and we haven't been able to publicize those as widely as we would have liked. There's been, even before, large security measures put in place. And this is something that I think people outside the Jewish community have also noticed when it affects them. If I can just give one example, you may have seen that there was media coverage over the weekend that the Jewish Museum in Dublin was planning for permission to expand its premises. And the report said that some local residents objected on security grounds, arguing that the building could become a target. And I understand why people feel anxious. But these are the exact concerns that are the realities of some members of the Jewish community that they live with every single day. And the answer cannot be to say that Jewish institutions need to be kept out of certain neighborhoods. We need to be asking a much more serious question as a society. Who are the people who would even contemplate targeting a Jewish building? And what are we doing to ensure that there is no space in Ireland for this kind of hatred? Because that has to be the response, not quietly accepting or normalizing the idea that a Jewish building should expect to be singled out for attack.
Ireland's Chief Rabbi Yoni Wheeler, thank you so much for talking to News Talk at breakfast this morning. We're now joined by Rabbi Levi Wolf of Central Sydney Synagogue. Rabbi, again, thank you for talking to us from Australia. I know you came to the scene very shortly after this horror unfolded. Tell us about what you met when you arrived there.
Hi, how are you? Good morning or good evening to us here in Sydney, Australia. I'm just coming onto the line, so I just caught the tail end of your last guest, and he definitely made a very strong and passionate case for society. We here in Sydney are absolutely reeling. We are in a state of terrible shock. Devastation is an understatement. But to be honest, it's of not any great surprise, because whenever anti-Semitism is not confronted head on, it will unfortunately transform into terrorism against Jews. That's just the way it has been for too long. And the best time to act is when it started, and the second best time is now. I arrived to the scene. There were already ambulances evacuating some of the injured. Sadly, we were not in a position to resuscitate some who were impacted to such a degree that there was no resuscitation even available to bring them back to life. We lost at the moment at our present count 16 people, 16 elderly and young, a child as young as 10 years old, a Holocaust survivor in his 90s, men and women, a very dear friend of mine, Rabbi Schlanger, Rabbi Eli Schlanger, originally from London, and he left over five children at home with a widow. It's hard to describe. You knew him personally,
Rabbi, did you?
He was a very dear friend of mine.
A selfless
human being, someone who made it his mission to be there for others, and that's exactly where his life was taken. He was hunted down. I'm sorry to use those words, but literally hunted down by a father and son who wanted to bring terror to the shores of Australia. And yesterday, at Bondi Beach, which is one of the most iconic beaches in our country, one of the most beautiful spots, it has been tainted and darkened forever. And unfortunately, we watched how the fulfillment of that promise of globalizing the Intifada came to fruition, murdering 16 innocent young and old people right there.
Something dreadfully, obviously tragic and poignant about the fact that somebody who survived the Holocaust, survived the unspeakable things that happened in the Holocaust, was shot dead in a liberal Western democracy like Australia.
Well, it goes beyond that. Well, firstly, absolutely. But many are perhaps unfamiliar that Australia, after World War II, became the largest place per capita, that is, for Holocaust survivors to come. So we have here in Australia, outside of Israel, per capita more Holocaust survivors than any other country in the world, and for two reasons. Firstly, people were looking to get as far as they could from the hell of where they lost everyone. And secondly, it was one of the only countries in the world that were actually taking in survivors and had an open-door policy. I mean, both my grandparents are Holocaust survivors, and both on mother's side and father's side. And to be able to experience once again here for a lot of this community, we have a small community relative to, places like North America and places like England. We only have about 100,000 Jews in the entire country of 25 million people.
Rabbi Levi Wolf of the Central Sydney Synagogue. Rabbi, if you're still listening or if you can still hear us, our deepest condolences at your loss, and thank you for speaking to News Talk Breakfast this morning.
News Talk Breakfast with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR
on News Talk.